Welcome to the C-Word with Calista, where curiosity meets creativity, and we discuss the king of C's, content. The ever-evolving world of content and the ever-expanding talent that we keep discovering in it. Welcome back to another episode of The C-Word with Calista and our guest of the day, a singer-songwriter, producer, multi-instrumentalist who also understands the power of social media, Devin Kennedy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So I know we were just talking about this. It's about 10 a.m. where you are.
It is 10:02 a.m. right now. I have a coffee beside me, and like I said, I had some breakfast, and I worked out this morning, and I'm feeling great.
This is always a question I love to ask creatives, because I find a lot of creatives are actually like night owls. So are you naturally a morning person, or...?
No, I am naturally a night owl, absolutely. I actually do this thing where I stay up way too late, and then I get up too early as well, and I just end up getting not enough sleep. And that's pretty much been my thing for too many years now, probably. But I just think I'm too excited about being alive and awake, and so I just have this thing where I don't want to sleep, and that's just how I am.
I relate a little bit too hard to that. Yeah. Going to sleep is just a waste of time, but we need it.
I mean, come on. I wish I could just recharge my batteries and just keep going, you know, but, you know, maybe one day we'll figure that. Maybe we could work on that like as an invention or something like that.
I mean, the fact that you're already up at 10 a.m., had a workout, had breakfast, I think you're doing pretty good. So
thank you. Okay. Thank you. That's making me feel great. It's fueled by coffee mostly.
Well, before we get more into it, I think we need to get the full intro. So give us everything we know. Need to know about Devin Kennedy.
Sure. I am a musician, producer, songwriter from Los Angeles, California, born and raised. Been in California my whole life, and I grew up playing in bands and producing my own music and writing. My family, you know, my dad plays a lot of music, played a couple instruments. My grandpa played piano. And so family just had a lot of music around the house, really musical household, and took me to some really cool first concerts and introduced me to music at a young age. And it's just a lifelong passion, really. I have always been writing songs, and I always wanted to be an artist, and it's lived in a few different forms over the years as I kind of figured out what I wanted to do. And the last, let's say, 5 or so years, I've been just pursuing my artist project pretty much full time and releasing as much music as I can, and making a bunch of friends on the internet, and just enjoying it so much, and I never want to stop, and that's my story.
That's where it's at now, right? Like 2024, like the internet is the most important place to be.
Yes, it is, and we're all on here, and there's so many people to connect with and meet and be friends with, and I just, the support and I've moved around a little bit growing up, and I've had friends over the years, but I feel like, you know, you really make some really cool friends on the internet, people who understand, you know, what you like, what you love, and who are just like-minded, and that's the best part for me, is just connecting with cool people.
So it sounds like you actually like literally were born into like a musical family, like everyone kind of loved music.
Yeah, I like I was saying, my dad, so when I was really young, my dad would, he plays guitar and drums and always had just instruments around the house. So we would, you know, jam out on songs together. My first instrument was drums, so I would play drums and he would play guitar, and we'd cover songs together and have a great time. And then, like I said, my grandpa was a concert pianist as well. So that was always being played around the house. So kind of both sides of the family had a little bit of musical influence. And then from there, you know, I started taking over the studio and taking over the instruments in the house, and, you know, asking my dad to get me some type of recording, some way to I can record myself. And and it all just grew from there. But it wouldn't have happened the same way without the involvement of my family, for sure.
Yeah, I find like it's really interesting because some people, they have families who like don't play any instruments or don't sing at all, and then they suddenly discover that they have this passion for it, and that's like a different kind of like road they take. But how did you discover that you wanted to take this to another level? Because it must have been like second nature to you. There's just music all around all the time. How did you know you wanted to make it into like a career and stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you know, having it be like a passion around the household, and for my parents and or my dad specifically, my grandpa, it was more of a hobby. My dad did do some of it professionally and tried to, you know, and did some recording and such, but it was definitely a passion around the house. And then when I was maybe around 10 years old, a little younger than that, I started getting brought to my first concerts. And so my dad brought me to see Paul McCartney, which was my first concert. And that was definitely an eye-opening, life-changing moment for me. And then my second concert was John Mayer as well. So I was brought to these solo artist concerts at a young age. You know, some of our career, or generational talent type artists. Obviously, Paul McCartney is like the greatest songwriter to ever live. So I think, you know, I go to those concerts and I'm 10 years old, and it's one thing to view music as a hobby, and it's another thing to look at it like, whoa, I could do this. I'm at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. Like, this guy is just shredding on a guitar right now in front of me. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I can't believe people do this for their job. And that was when you're kind of realizing that, you know, it could be a job. And so, or it could be, you know, something that you could do in your adult life and actually sustain yourself doing it. And so from that point on, that was pretty much my only goal. How quickly can I get through school? How quickly can I learn how to play more instruments? How quickly can I write better songs, or learn how to produce myself, or whatever stood in the way of wanting to play live music and be an artist? That's what I, you know, those were the doors I needed to knock down. And so, it really, like I said, is a lifelong passion since then. That was a very eye-opening experience for me.
I mean, you said your first instrument was drums, and obviously you play guitar. There's so many behind you right now. So what other instruments do you play?
So yeah, started on drums. Mainly started on drums because I wanted to play guitar. And I was born 2 months early. So my whole childhood, I was like a really small guy. Like I went into high school, I was like under 5 feet. I was getting made fun of for being small. It was a whole thing. So all that to say, my hands were too small to play the guitar when I was a kid, right? And it hurt. I was like, I hate this. This hurts. I want to play drums. I want to hit things. And so started there. And then as my hands grew, I started picking the guitar up maybe around middle school and started doing more of that. And those have always really been my main instruments. I can play the piano. It's certainly not my strongest instrument, but want to do more of that playing live. And I play piano on a lot of my songs when I'm producing them and such, when I have a million takes to get it wrong until I get it right. And then in elementary school, at least with the schools here in California, they require us to learn an instrument. And I wished it was guitar or drums or something that I thought was cool at that time, but they forced us to learn a wind instrument. So we had to choose between trumpet or saxophone. And so I chose saxophone. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but I chose saxophone. And I would never claim that I know how to play the saxophone. And if you're familiar with saxophone, I think it has like a million buttons on it. And it's an impossible instrument to learn, in my opinion, because there's just way too many buttons. And so I was in second grade, third grade, trying to learn this instrument. And I just go to class and I would just like blow into it and press buttons. I wasn't playing any type of song, anything that would sound nice at all. It probably sounded like the most horrific thing you've ever heard. And I just remember the teacher always being like, someone is way off in here. Like, who is playing the way wrong notes? I'm like, yeah, who is that? It's crazy. You guys are really bad at the saxophone. So that was my only other instrument experience, but let's just say that I play the saxophone as well, for just to keep things easy.
Okay, so wind instruments, not your thing.
Not my thing, no, not my thing.
Okay, I totally relate to the guitar story though. Like, I am still under 5 foot. Hands are tiny, cannot for the life of me, like...
It's hard. It's hard.
And it hurts. Like, they tried to teach me once. I was like, this is not going to be worth it. I don't even have rhythm, so I'm not going to be good at it. Never mind.
They gotta make them easier to play. I don't know what that is. It's just, you know.
You have to press so hard onto the strings.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to torture yourself before you get good at something? It doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm saying. And then I look at that. You have your choices. Basically, most of the time people start on guitar or piano, I feel like. And guitar is hard because it hurts, and piano is hard because it's just like the hardest instrument of all time. There's so many things to play. I don't know. I look at it still. I played piano for like 10 plus years. I look at the piano, I'm like, I don't know how to play it. But then I do, but I kind of don't. I don't know. Something. I'm like halfway there. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, you know enough to be able to create music, and I think that's...
Yeah, I do. I do know enough. Absolutely.
So how did you discover that you knew how to sing?
I always really liked singing, but I was scared to sing in front of people for a long time when I was growing up, which I think a lot of people probably go through. But I wanted to play, like I was playing drums for a while, really wanted to be in bands. I wanted to be an artist. I didn't know that I wanted to be like the front man necessarily. I just really wanted to go on tour and be with my friends for a long time. That was really my goal. And I was playing drums, and then maybe after two or three bands of different band members and trying to, you know, kind of feeling like I cared a lot more than the rest of the band, because I was the one who wanted to make it a career and everyone else was just in high school kind of having a good time and such, you know. And as that kind of progressed, it got to the point of, you know, starting a new band and saying, I don't think I want to drum because I want to write the songs and I don't know if I want to sing, but I think I have to sing because I'm getting really tired of dealing with lead singers. So I think I'll become one. And so I did, and I started playing shows with my band in high school, and to nobody, you know, to five people every show, you know, which we all have to do at some point. And that was a real learning experience for me at that time, and just getting comfortable in front of just singing on stage overall. And then I started really getting into, you know, singing live and writing more, and you know, never had any type of, I mean, I took some vocal lessons over the years, you know, here and there, but never any type of crazy formal training. I love singing. I think I know how to sing my style of music, and that's just been a 10-year learning curve, I think, more than anything, of just writing like 1,000 songs and finding my voice, and that's really what it was all about.
Well, that's something like I'm always really interested in. I feel like everyone has a different answer. Like, when you write songs, because, okay, you can be born with, like, vocal talent, right? Like, some people don't need to have vocal lessons or anything. They can just sing.
Sure.
You can learn how to write, to play an instrument. But how do you go through the whole songwriting process? Like, do you come up with the melody first? Like, how does that happen? Or the lyrics? Like, what's the whole shebang?
So I think that... there's a few really important building blocks to when I'm trying to write a song. And for a while it was like, let me find the best melody I can find, you know, to these cool kind of chords, and then I'll put lyrics to it. And that was a few years of writing that way that I got some really cool songs that way, but it was always really hard because you're like trying to match a lyric, or I'm sorry, you're trying to take a melody that you think is cool and then try to match a lyric that evokes the same type of feeling. That's a really hard thing to do. You're never really gonna, like, I don't really, in that approach, find a lot of lyrics that I'm really gravitating towards, because it's kind of like the less important thing came first, maybe. So these days, what I really enjoy is writing with intention, and that is, I'm not gonna write a song until I have a great idea for a song. The message behind the song is really the bottom line of the entire thing. The melodies, the production, the chords are super important building blocks, but they're all kind of like the clothes that you put on a great song. But a great song has to be a great song, and it has to be a great concept and idea. So these days, in the effort of, you know, being in like a creative mindset all the time and not feeling kind of burnt out on any type of writing, or, you know, I don't ever want to feel like writing a song was hard. If it's hard, I'll just move on to another song, you know. So at this point, I want to write with intention as much as possible, and that's kind of waiting for a cool song idea to come about. A lot of the time, that's from a lyric or a title or one singular message, something I went through, something a friend went through, something I saw on TV, something I saw in public. It could literally be anything that strikes inspiration on a song. And then it's about finding cool chords that match the emotion and finding great melodies that match the lyric and all of that, and then dressing it up with production. But always with the message first, I think, is what I've found a lot of success and a lot of fun in writing the last few years. That's what's made it really fun and easy for me to do, is coming at it with a lot of intention.
So would you say, because most people are either a melody person or a lyrics person, would you say you're a lyrics person?
I think now I'm changing to be a lyric person. For a while, I was a melodic person. And now I think that the lyric, you know, when I look back at what's worked for me musically, and looking back at some of my favorite songs I've done over the years for myself and for others, it's always the ones with the strongest lyrics that I tend to gravitate back towards. So that's kind of my approach now, is just focusing on the message there. And something that I think is really important is, like, I'm trying to create what I call life songs. You know, we all have things that we go through that are, we all go through similar experiences. We all fall head over heels in love with somebody we just met at some point. We all, you know, we all have to say I'm sorry sometimes. We all get up in our heads about whatever's going on in our life and you know, catastrophize about the craziness of the world, you know. So life songs are really important. I don't want to just write me songs anymore. I want to write life songs. So that's what I'm trying to do these days.
Yeah, songs that will, like, relate to a lot of different people, right?
If I can, yeah. And that I relate to, too. If I'm going through it, probably a lot of other people are going through it. So
yeah. Who are some of your favorite songwriters?
So, like I said, I grew up on the Paul McCartney and the John Mayer. I mean, that's where a lot of my early inspiration came from as a songwriter. There's years, a period of years where, when I was in bands and such, I really looked up to, like, the Fall Out Boys and the Yellow Cards of the world, and the you know, leaning a little bit more into the rock space. And then these days, I'm totally into my R&B and my country world. I love Ryan Beatty, I love Ray, I love Jack Antonoff, like anything Bleachers. I mean, Taylor Swift is like the most amazing songwriter to ever live. So, you know, all of the above. But yeah, I just really love the people who are going in on the quality of their music. And I'd like to think that I can recognize, you know, the love and care that goes into a song the same way I put it into my own music. You know, you can hear that. Mm-hmm. And certain artists, like, man, they really cared about this one. And that's who I like to listen to. That makes the process a whole lot easier when you come in with an idea, and then it's kind of like emotional ping pong. It's like, what if we said this? And then they're like, what if we did this? And then you're kind of sending it back and forth, and it's getting better and better and better until you're both like, whoa, that is a crazy song. I can't believe we just did that. How do we just do that? And so, that is what makes the collaboration of it more fun. That is where I tend to lean, is, okay, if I have a great idea on my own, unless it's so obvious that I can just write it like that, 99% of the time I'm calling a friend and saying, hey, what do you think of this idea? Let's write it together. I think you'd be perfect for this. Or even more, these days, I'll be hanging out with a friend. All my friends are songwriters, basically. So we'll just sit there and someone will say something. We're like, that's a cool song idea. We should write that song. We could say anything at any moment and it sparks a song idea. And that's just staying in kind of that creative mindset. So collaboration number one, totally. If I can't figure it out on my own, that's typically where I'll go. And if I really do want to figure it out on my own and I can't, typically the reason there is that if I'm having trouble finding a melody, it's because the chords are not right, in my opinion. I think chords are like the building blocks of emotion in music. Like, framing lyrics the right way with chords is not something that every artist is doing. A lot of artists are just kind of choose the four chords and sing to it, and that is totally fine. But for my style of music and how I like to write songs, I think that there's almost nothing more important than the chords besides the lyrics. So that would be the answer. If I am struggling with the melody, it's because I haven't found the right chords yet.
So give us like an inside look, right? Like if you write with other people and say you're in a group of friends, how do you kind of divide the song credits? Because, you know, like, especially when you go to like Spotify or whatever, and you see there's always these long list of names, like writers, some are like everything else. How do you divide that up?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a song with more than, I want to say four or five songwriters on it. And the way I've always found to do it is the fairest way to do it is just doing it evenly in terms of the contribution to the songwriting. Of course, there are kind of one-off cases where someone throws in one lyric or, you know, and then you just kind of call that person and say, hey, what do you think is fair here? You know, is 5% cool? Like, you know, I know we want to compensate you for what you contributed to the song. And really, it's just about making sure everybody is happy with what they're receiving. And we all created that product together. I mean, I'm always, always excited to share in that, you know, the royalties and the success and overall just, you know, success of the songs. So that is something that I love to do, just keep it even. And then even on the flip side of that, with the song masters and the recordings with any kind of co-producers, I have a few co-producers that I really love to work with. And, you know, we keep things fair. We make sure that everybody feels compensated and excited about being a part of the project. That is the only way to be. These people are, you know, taking time out of their lives to support my dreams. And so the very least I can do is compensate them accordingly and make them feel excited. And down to, you know, songwriters are widely underappreciated and underpaid these days. And I want to make sure that anybody working on my project, as much as I can control it, that's not the case. And so on the master side of my songs, I like to give songwriters, you know, a percentage of the recordings as well, which is not so typical, but I hope it becomes typical these days in this music industry. I think that's how it needs to be. So
how does it work? Like, I know we always talk about like streaming royalties and stuff, but we all know that, unfortunately, I feel like the artist doesn't get compensated a lot for streams. Of course, we know like the sales of albums and stuff. But other than that, are there any other ways? Like, I play all this music on the radio. Do you get paid for being played on the radio?
Absolutely. It will always find us. Totally. There's some great resources around the world for getting that or making sure that those royalties find all of us who are on the songs. And we have some great performance rights organizations here, in the U.S. and all around the world that are amazing, and as well as some great distribution and just great team members that allow us to find that money for ourselves. And you know, really more important than the royalties, in my mind, is making the connections with the folks that are going out and finding that money for you. These people are really important. I mean, you know, I am in it for the art first and foremost, but of course, I want to sustain myself and have a strong career. And I'm an independent artist. I'm reinvesting my money, so I want to go find, you know, I'm paying for the tour, I'm paying for the promotion, etc. So yeah, we want to go find those royalties. And so being connected with the right people to do that has been very crucial for me. I'm with a performance rights organization called BMI in the United States. These people have completely changed my life, not even considering them finding the royalties and getting money for me, but just they've opened so many doors and connections for me. Everybody, if you look at the credits on my albums, everybody working on my songs is because I met them through these performance rights people. And so they've really gone above and beyond. And it's just been a very crucial part of my success, I would say, and the last few years for me. And so that's been very important.
That was a question I wanted to ask, because obviously the C word is all about like content and stuff. And I consider content anybody who creates something. It's all content that we consume, right? But yeah. I've also come across a lot of people, obviously being in this industry, that don't know where to start. So you say you have a group of friends who are songwriters who write songs together. You have a group of people who have been able to help you. What about if somebody just wants to start out as an independent artist? They don't know anybody that they can collaborate with. What would be your advice?
Totally. A couple different ways to start. I mean, you're talking to someone who is independent and will probably always be independent, or is, you know, at least for a long time here. And I value my independence and my freedom and the ability to do what I want to do at any moment. And so in my mind, that is the way to be these days. Each artist has kind of something that works best for them. And there are certainly artists that should be on major labels and have giant teams and you know, to each their own. But in my mind, starting out, you're going to be independent. Really, you know, the reason I'm independent is because I never had major label offers. I never had any help. So I'm independent. And then things started working a little more. And then I stayed independent because that's just how I wanted to be, right? So that's, I think, a very natural progression. And if you are focused on the art, number one, that has to be it. So you have to fall in love with the process. And these days, in the spirit of creating a lot of content, if music is your thing, and you know, I'd like to think that content and music is my thing, but certainly music is my thing, number one, and content secondary. And so what I can do to control the next steps for my career and to grow my fan base, number one, is to just put out as much music as I can possibly make. And so I fell in love with the process. I love making music. I will never stop making music. And if I can make, you know, I think I might put out 20 songs this year just because I love music and I have it and it's sitting on my desktop, you know? And so that would be my advice first and foremost. Fall in love with the process and find what you want to say and what it might sound like, and just really enjoy that, because if you don't enjoy that, the rest is going to be pretty hard, because the content is not necessarily the fun part, in my opinion. Though I'm trying to do my best to fall in love with that as well, and it's a kind of a everyday effort, right? So that would be number one for me, is focus on the craft there. In terms of really, you know, propelling yourself forward into having a team or meeting more people or really growing the you know, initial stages of your career, don't be afraid to ask for help. I mean, send those cold emails. If you got songs that you love, send them out. The worst you can get is a non-response or a no, you know, and you're gonna get so many no's. So just be ready for the no's. And then if you get one yes for every 100 no's, that one yes could change your life. So, you know, just keep going after it. And like I was saying, like these BMI folks, I cold called the office. This is a corporation, you know, they don't take calls from songwriters really. And I just left a voicemail. It's like, hey, I signed up for your service. I think you're collecting my royalties now. I'm like 18 years old. I have no idea what's going on. And I got some songs. And the guy called me back. And that is still my rep there to this day. I deal with him every month and bring him a bottle of wine when my album comes out. And, you know, that guy changed my life. And it was a cold call. So, you know, he introduced me to my co-producer who I did my whole last album with. So, it's just, you never know how it's going to happen. So just spread that music around and have a great time making it. And everything will follow from there, as long as you're enjoying it.
Wow. I actually love that story. Like, because you always hear about the no's, you know, like, yeah. Doesn't matter what kind of content you're doing. Like, there's always going to be a lot of no's, a lot of, what does this person want? You know, like things like that. And yeah, to find that one person and have the proof that they can, that one person can change your life. That's amazing.
It's crazy. Yeah, you're right, though. It applies to kind of all things. Like, you post a video, you know, yeah, a no is a, what, non-interaction, someone skipping it, you know? How many people are doing that on every one of my videos? Probably, you know, 99 out of 100 people are skipping it. I don't know, right? And so I think that, you know, in any industry, my dad always used to say this to me, in any industry, my dad worked in marketing for many years. If you can bat 1%, if you can get if 100 people see your product and one person goes and checks it out, you are automatically in the most successful, you know, percentage of business people. You know, most companies convert their products and their sales at a super low rate, right? So if I have 100 people, you know, who get exposed to my music, and one of those people become a fan, I'm feeling fantastic, and that's kind of the 99 no's and the one yes theory, I suppose. So it's all about, you know, it's all about the no's. Learn to love them. They're gonna happen.
So. I don't know whether personally I could learn to love them, learn to accept.
Yeah, or learn to I guess let them. Yeah, fair enough. Let them push you to keep going, to go for more yeses. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you actually had a song out with Pink Sweats called Forget About You. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, that was crazy. I am such a fan of Pink Sweats. I've been a fan of Pink Sweats for years, and always have been, like, completely wowed by his songwriting. He's independent. He's an amazing business person. And I didn't know him personally until this song came about. He happened to hear the song and like it, and it was kind of one of those, like, oh, really? Pink Sweats wants to be on the song? Like, no way. And so definitely a life changer for me, and, you know, just such a special person to meet. And I went down to Florida in the U.S. to film some of the content with him around the song and hang out with him in person when we were doing the record. And he is just the most humble and talented person. He's so kind, and just showing me around and just acting like we knew each other for 10 years. And I'd like to say that we're very, you know, like-minded in our independence and the way we operate our businesses, but also just kind of overall, he's about his energy, he's about his family and his happiness and his positivity, and I really resonate, or a lot of that resonates with me. So really just so happy to have made such a cool friend in the process, and I just got this song with somebody who, in my opinion, is one of the most talented vocalists and songwriters of our generation, so I'm just completely blessed to be involved. That's how I feel about it.
He's really nice in person, right? He was here in Malaysia for a music festival, and I wasn't interviewing him at the time, but I got to talking to his wife.
And his wife is a sweetheart as well.
Yeah.
They are just so cute too. I love seeing them online. They're the best. But they just finished, or he just wrapped up his tour in LA maybe 3 weeks ago. I went to the show, and just hanging out with them was the best. It was so much fun.
Yeah, because I remember I met him and I was like, oh, he's so nice. You don't always meet, I mean, again, being on radio, you don't always meet the nicest artists. Not every artist is nice. But he went out of his way, you know, to like say hi to people and everything. And then a while after that, I interviewed him like this over on Zoom. And he remembered me. I was like, that was a couple of months ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know whether he still does, but like he followed me on Instagram and I was like, who is this guy? Like, he's so insane.
You know, the music industry, creative industries, all social media, all of it is kind of crazy. You never know who you're going to deal with, especially if you don't, like, I didn't know him well, like I said before this process. And you never know who you're getting involved with. Obviously, you know, anybody can act any type of way, though I've heard amazing things always about Pink Sweats, of course. But you know, you never know what to expect, and you never know how gracious that person's going to be with supporting the song he's on with you. It was my song, and then it became our song, and I don't know how much he feels like it's his song versus it's my song. You know, you never know what's going to happen, right? And he was so forthcoming about the promotion and excited and loved the song and complimentary of the song, and it was just so, so special to be a part of. And yeah, I just can't say enough great things about the guy. He's awesome, and I hope to do more with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you learn, what's one thing that you learned from like being in the studio with him and creating content with him?
I just am totally in awe of his positive mindset. I think it's something that we can all take a page out of his playbook. You know, I'd like to think that I'm a relatively happy guy, and I'm, you know, like to stay positive and such, but this guy is on a whole other level of positivity and energy, and it radiates off of him, the happiness and the excitement of everybody around him, and that's really something to strive for, like as a friend, as a partner, as a family member, as a business person, as an employer, whatever it may be. I think that he just is like radiating massive amounts of positivity and creativity, and that is the only way to be.
Mm-hmm. And I saw you also join Daniel Seavey from formerly Why Don't We on tour.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was such a fun time. I was so excited to see Daniel go out on his own. I always loved Why Don't We. I know a couple of those boys. Corbin is insanely talented. Daniel's insanely talented. And I've been lucky enough to be in the studio with Corbin as well, who's just got a crazy voice. And nice. He's going solo and with new music right now too, which is awesome. But when Daniel came out with those first few songs, we were all like, yes, you know, this guy is so great. We had heard some of the songs before they came out. And, you know, the guy plays like 10 different instruments and is like insanely over the top talented. And when he announced that he was going on that tour, it was kind of another one of those moments where it was like, whoa, Daniel Seavey would take me on tour. That's the coolest opportunity ever. Of course, we'll be there. And what a kind offer. And, you know, to him and his team for putting that together was just another, you know, really big moment for me in growing my fan base and getting back out on the road, especially like post-pandemic and everything. It was just such a cool reintroduction to the live scene and getting out in front of some new fans for me. We played so many cool shows and so many cool venues to so many cool people. I met just the nicest and most excited fan base and friends on that tour. And just every night was a dream going out there, playing my songs, and then hanging out after the show and meeting everybody and watching Daniel do his thing. And making a friend like that is, you know, was so much fun. That guy is just ridiculous. He's so good.
I mean, Why Don't We's been here a couple of times. The fans just love them over here. And I know, like, a lot of your streams are coming out of Southeast Asia as well. So you got any plans to come over?
Yes, I do, actually. I don't have anything concrete enough to say yet, but something that we're actively working on, and I'm ready. It's time. It's time to come play some shows. And, you know, got a lot of songs coming out this year and a lot of music in the works that I'm wrapping up right now. So as all of that comes out, I think there'll be a really cool opportunity to come play some shows all over the place. And that is really the whole reason why I do it. I just want to play live. That's my number one thing. So I'm ready.
All right. Well, I know you've got a lot of music coming out. You just dropped a new one called Annie.
Yes.
What's that about? Like, I keep seeing comments on your post being like, but who's Annie? So what can you tell me about who is Annie?
So yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Annie could be anybody. Annie could be in the next room. Annie could be someone I meet in a coffee shop tomorrow. And we all have our own Annie, I think. But where we came at it from with this one was on the topic of writing with intention and writing with a good message in mind. Something that I've noticed in my relationships is, and this applies to every relationship, I think, is that we all give and receive love in different ways. And I think that in the building blocks of a strong relationship and a healthy relationship is figuring out how that person wants to love you and how they want to receive love from you. You have to tailor make your love for that person. You can't just like one-stop shop your love and just like throw it at somebody. It's not gonna work. So you need to either, you know, in the moments where they need their space, they need their space. And in the moments where they want to hold you close, you need to be there for them, and everything in between those two things. And so we started the song with, wouldn't it be cool to write a song about, hey, I can love you anyway, any which way you'd like, let me know. I can go in the other room and be quiet for a few hours. I can sit right here and sing you a song or whatever you want me to do. I'm here for you, right? And so we started with that. And we're writing the song, and we're like, yeah, I can love you any which way, any. And the more we're writing it, we're recording the vocals, and I'm like, does this sound like I'm singing Annie to you guys? And everyone's like, it does, it does. Sounds like you're singing Annie. I'm like, wait, we need to rewrite the song. The song has to be called Annie. That's way more interesting. Annie, I Could Love You Any Which Way is a step, you know, another play on words beyond the cool message that we were already putting into the song. And we did it and we were like, oh yeah, that's definitely it. So sometimes things kind of like, you gotta put the puzzle pieces together. We started with a cool idea and then it became that much cooler when we figured out kind of the unlock of the name. And like I said, Annie could be anybody. Annie could be everywhere, anywhere. And Annie was also a beautifully singing orphan from a movie in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Annie could be anybody.
Okay, cool. I know you posted like this TikTok and said like tag your favorite Annie or someone. I was like thinking, yeah. I don't know whether I know any Annies. So I'm going to have to go and search through my list and see if there are any.
Yeah, we can think of, there's some. I mean, I've been looking through too. An Annie that I'm a big fan of is Annie from the Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek. I don't know if you ever saw that show. It's a fantastic show. She's a great actress. So, mm-hmm. So Annie Murphy, if you're out there, something's about you. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, hopefully we'll get to see you in Malaysia real soon. We can do this in person. Thank you so much for joining me.
Welcome to the C Word with Calista, where curiosity meets creativity, and we discuss the king of C's, content.